Lolita, light of my life, fire of my loins, my sin, my soul. Lolita, the tip of the tongue taking a trip of 3 steps down the palate to tap at 3 on the teeth. Lolita. She was low, plain low, in the morning, standing 4 feet 10 in one sock. She was Lola in slacks. She was Dolly at school. She was Dolores on the dotted line. But in my arms, she was always Lolita.
With those lines published in 1955, Vladimir Nabokov begins his most famous novel, which shocked the world and placed him in the highest echelon of modern writers. In a new biography, my next guest examines Nabokov's time in America in the years leading up to and after the publication of Lolita. Robert Roper is a novelist and journalist who is on the faculty of Johns Hopkins University. He'll be appearing at the Ivy Bookshop tonight to talk about the book. It's called Nabokov in America, On the Road to Lolita. It's nice to meet you, Mr. Roper. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So he spent 20 years in America. This book covers the period roughly from 1940 to 1960, but he really had a life that was very much on the move. Trace for us briefly what happened before he came to America. Born in St. Petersburg, Russia, and then he moved around a lot.
Yeah, right. Born in 1899. His father was a very influential, fabulously wealthy family. And they lost everything in the revolution. His father was politically liberal. The Bolsheviks didn't like him. So they escaped with other Russians to Berlin. And he lived in Berlin almost 20 years, the son, and became a writer, started publishing, got a small reputation among Russian readers. He was writing in Russian. But he was married to a Jewish woman. They had a little boy. And as the 30s advanced, they knew they had to get out of Germany. So they escaped 1937 to France, but the writing was on the wall about the war, and so the Nazis were soon in France, and they just barely got out of France on the last ship going to the United States before all shipping was shut down by the war. And so 1940, they arrived in America, and he had some English, but he had not written very much in English. I mean, he was a native Russian speaker, so he reconfigured himself as an American writer. And began publishing books in English.
You quote a diary of Nabokov. He says that by the age of 14, I had read all of Tolstoy in Russian, all of Shakespeare in English, and all of Flaubert in French. There's an incredible intellect here at play here, isn't it? It's astonishing.
Yeah, it is astonishing, although we need to remember that Europeans learn a lot of languages. If they go to a good school, it's not that strange to run into an educated European these days, too, who speaks 4 or 5 languages. Nabokov was very fluent in French, English, and Russian. I'm very impressed as a crude American by that, but it wasn't unthinkable that somebody would have that many languages.
So he's married to a woman named Vera. You write about a pretty healthy sexual appetite both before he got married and while he was married. What was that relationship like?
Yeah, it was one of the more profound and interesting writer and devoted wife relationships in modern history. There's a tradition in Russian literature of devoted, brilliant wives who stand behind their husbands and often argue with them. Dostoevsky had such a wife, Tolstoy, and Vera. Very early on, she became intoxicated with the poetry of this unknown young poet, Nabokov. This is in the 1920s. And they met, believe it or not, at a masked ball. And he started chatting her up, and she started quoting his poetry back to him. And he became fascinated, of course.
Yeah, that'll
and,
do it. Yeah.
Who is this woman? And the thing started from there. So she believed deeply in his writing, and she worked very hard her whole life as his literary agent and as his editor. She typed up his manuscripts. He never really learned to type, just as he never really learned how to drive a car. So on their long trips all over the American West in the summers after they got here, she did all the driving.
Yeah, incredible. And they covered like 200,000 miles or something, you estimate.
Right.
And he was in search of all things, butterflies. He was really, at one point in the 1940s, you talk about how he was really doing very little writing and that he was almost thinking of himself more as a lepidopterist, a butterfly expert than a writer.
Right, right. His parents, these very wealthy Russian, upper-class Russians, were kind of amateur naturalists, and they were very interested in butterfly collecting, especially his father, and they turned young Vladimir onto that, and he really took to it. He adored it. It's funny, I find a remarkable parallel between him and certain American writers of the 20th century who we usually don't think of in the same pairing. Faulkner and Hemingway, both big hunters, and Nabokov writes about the natural world with the same richness and the same adoration of wildness that they show. He was hunting butterflies, and they were hunting whatever, but from a very early age, he loved to get out into wild forests and mountains.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I guess people have the stereotypical notion of what a writer is this, you know, slightly crazed person who, you know, hermits himself or herself in a garret somewhere and, you know, writes novels. But Nabokov, you write, was very strategic about getting a career and establishing an American readership writing in English. He had, at that point, had published nine works in Russian. But he was no crazy artiste. He was purposeful about getting his career off the ground in the United States.
Very, very smart about it. And he took advice. I mean, this is one of the most condescending and superior writers you could ever hope to meet. All right, he had read everything, he knew everything, but in fact, he was very alert to information from any source. And he had, I found in my researches for this book, he had extraordinary friendships with ordinary Americans. And he would pick their brain, and he had great times going out with guys collecting butterflies. A lot of them didn't know he was a writer. They said, yeah, he's that guy with a funny accent who knows everything about butterflies, and it's just tremendous to be with him. We laugh the whole day. And he had I wouldn't even call it a common touch, because it was just very natural to him.
On 88.1, it's Marilyn Morning. I'm Tom Hall. My guest this morning is Robert Roper. He is the author of a new biography of Vladimir Nabokov. It's called Nabokov in America, On the Road to Lolita. Some of his friends were not just ordinary Americans. They were pretty famous writers. One of them is Edmund Wilson. You write a lot about Mr. Wilson. They had a very close relationship, which fell apart eventually after about 20 years of that in what you call a public bloodletting. They were mean to each other in print. What was [S2] Right. [S1] The influence of Wilson? And one of the influences might be a book that Wilson had written. It was a sex novel, or a novel that had a lot about sex in it, called The Memoirs of Hecate County, is that how I pronounce
Hecate.
It? Hecate County. Was Wilson an influence on Nabokov as a writer as well as a friend?
Yeah, he was. It was great good fortune for Vladimir. He came over here penniless, 1940. His cousin, Nicholas Nabokov, a composer, had come a couple of years earlier, and he had luckily befriended this guy, Edmund Wilson, who just happened to be the most influential literary journalist in America, and a wonderful man who was very, very generous to other writers, very generous. And so Nicholas introduced them, and they struck up a friendship. And at that time, Wilson was particularly interested in Russian literature, so to him it was just thrilling to be with Vladimir. And Vladimir also loved Wilson's company. They laughed about a lot of things. They were both pedants. They had read everything. They would exchange books. They would exchange fabulous letters that have been collected. They're wonderful to read. So this was a wonderful friendship. And then Wilson, in his customary generous style, said, you know, would you like to publish some stuff at the New Republic? I've got a friend who's an editor there. How about the New Yorker? You ever thought of publishing there? And Nabokov, yes, this innocent from, of course he had read The New Yorker. He had been reading American magazines when he was in Europe, so years before. So he said, yeah, that sounds good. So,
Wilson, a really big boost to his career.
Yeah, he opened many doors, many doors.
And of course, Lolita, his most famous novel, and after Lolita, there are very few butterfly collectors who probably didn't know who he was, because, I mean, the the splash that this book made, both negative and positive, was really quite something. We actually have a clip of Nabokov discussing Lolita. This is with a guy from the CBC named Pierre Burton, along with the writer Lionel Trilling. This is on television, and you write about this. Here's Nabokov himself talking about Lolita, and of course, people's first reaction to the book was that it was basically pornography.
Think so? I don't think so. Well, first of all, I don't wish to touch hearts, and I don't even want to affect minds very much. What I want to produce is really that little sob in the spine of the artist reader. Well, I leave the field of ideas to Dr. Schweitzer and to Dr. Zhivago. And when you say satire, you imply a purpose, an object, an awakening, apart from and beyond the dream of the book. I have invented in America, my America, and just as fantastic as any inventor's America.
Could you be more attractive?
I think that you have noticed, but some reviewers have not noticed how helpless and how lovely she is. It was fun to breed her in my own laboratory. But I'm not concerned in holding up public abuses to ridicule or that kind of thing.
So he writes a book about a pedophile and a captive young girl. The man Humbert, who is the protagonist in the book, marries her mother basically to get to her, to get to Lolita. What makes this book so great? I mean, because no one dismisses it as a not great piece of literature.
Oh, well, a lot of people do. I want to say that interview with Nabokov is, to me, is really funny because every word out of his mouth needs to be doubted. he's not lying, but he's, you know, creating obscurity around the truth. Like, he was basically determined to say, I wasn't trying to write a book that would touch readers or make you care for this poor little girl who's turned into a sex slave. I don't care about reforming society. But in fact, he did write a book that does make you care, and he did bring pedophilia into public discourse. So, why is it a great book?
It a great book, then?
Yeah, I think it's a great book. And I had an unsettling experience. I came home one day. My 11-year-old daughter was curled up on the couch, and she was laughing over a paperback. And she was kind of, you know, an early, ambitious reader. She liked to read books. And I always said, oh, take anything off my shelves you want to read, sweetheart. Well, she was reading Lolita. And I said, wait a minute, Katie, you know, I'm not sure you should read that. And she was just reading it, and for its depiction of America, she didn't understand exactly what was going on in it. But the sentence by sentence, it's very, very funny and very true. Anybody who's grown up in America recognizes the truth of the descriptions of motels and roadside cafes, the whole kit of 1950s America. So just on the level of a good book about our world, it's just fantastic.
There is actually a line of interpretation, criticism of Lolita that calls it basically a representation, if you will, an analog to old Europe debauching young America. Do you buy that line of
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that Nabokov liked to laugh. Some critics say it's old Europe debauching young America. I had no intention. I don't believe in symbols. And of course it is about that. I mean, it's about a lot of things that he denied and that he parodied. But that doesn't really describe the whole story. I mean, it's a very funny, true, moving story. Some people read it and say, what's all the talk about? I don't like this. I'm made uncomfortable by this, and I don't think he's so great. And, you know, there are many opinions about any work of art, but I think the only thing to do is try it yourself. Get a nice, cheap paperback copy and read a couple of pages. Yeah. If you're not captivated, put it down.
Yeah, the subject is appalling, and the writing is, in my view at least, just, you know, extraordinary. So it's one of those paradoxes. Okay, well, thanks so much. The book is a very interesting read. I appreciate it. Robert Roper, the book is called Nabokov in America, On the Road to Lolita. Mr. Roper will be speaking and signing copies of his book at the Ivy Bookshop in North Baltimore tonight at 7 o'clock. We've got all the details on our website, wypr.org/Marilyn Warren. By the way, thanks to senior producer Rob Civic for reading the Lolita excerpt at the top of this segment. I'm Tom Hall. Coming up later on the broadcast, Monica Reinagle, the nutrition diva, helps us sort out this week's news about red meat and processed meat. The International Agency for Research on Cancer has weighed in with some new recommendations, and Monica will let us know what that means for carnivores and vegetarians alike.